our key verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's pray responsively. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the earlier prayer meeting. And Lord, we pray that you would hear and answer our prayers this morning. We thank you for your holy word that says, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Lord, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon us, those of us who are truly born again and saved. And please forgive us of our sins as we, from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew this morning, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Deliver us, Lord, from temptation, evil, and sin throughout this day. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We pray that you would continue to bless us, but Lord, help us to be a blessing to you and to others. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As usual, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, and he is kicking up his heels again against your work and trying to hinder your work, not only here, but everywhere. And folks today do not like to talk about that, but it is an issue. And we pray, however, that your people, those of us who are truly born again, would not allow the devil to use us to hinder your work going forward. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray against all of the Judases and the Sanballats and the Tobiases and the Demetriuses and Alexander the coppersmith, and all of the people who oppose the gospel, who oppose you, who oppose Jesus, and who oppose your holy word. They somehow gather with the faithful saints. And Lord, we pray that you would block them and stop them and hinder them, as you've done in the past. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, Sanballat and Tobias, out of the hearts and minds and lives of these people. If they resist you, we pray that you would block them and hinder them and stop them and thwart their plans. And Lord, we pray that you would once again give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Pray as best you can. And Holy Father God, we cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy unspeakable. And we pray for all of the people gathering around the world. And we thank you for the great crowd that we had on Wednesday and on last Sunday. And we pray that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved, encourage those who are discouraged. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from them as well. And give us all sweet victory once again over the world, the flesh, and the devil on a daily basis. In an hour-by-hour basis. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, therefore, in perfect peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class 211. Number 211. And we're dealing with the subject, how to overcome temptation. Part 87. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that we as human beings face. That we as Christians face, particularly, as the Bible says, common to man. Thank God there's a movement going, and there's a movement afoot for people to be transparent. One lady down in Houston has written a series of books dealing with being the importance of being vulnerable. And I would venture to say that it's not a matter of trying to be vulnerable. We are vulnerable. And we need to be honest about our vulnerability. And we need to be honest that we faced temptations to do evil, to do wrong every day from the inside of us and from the outside of us. And the people who win in life are the people who say no to the devil and to the devil's temptations and the devil's suggestions. And the people who are victorious and the people who come out on top in life are the people who say no to the devil, no to their flesh, no to the foolishness of the world. Can somebody, if you're honest this morning, say amen? And so, beloved, we are looking at what the Bible says about these sins, these temptations, so we can be aware of their dangers and so that we can hide Holy Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted to do evil. Some have been tempted to do evil this week and they have failed. And it's a miserable feeling if you are a Christian to fail. If you are a demoniac, your life is a failure. You don't suffer guilt from temptations. You suffer pain if you don't yield to the temptation. You say, preacher, how do you know about that? I know about that because I was once lost. But saved people are not only troubled and feel guilty because of the yielding to temptation, they don't like the temptation itself. They don't like going through that process of dealing with temptation, but they have to. We just sung several times, yield not to temptation. And allow me, if you will, to share a few words from that song. It is a song. It's one of those ancient hymns that will help you through your day. Yes, the hymns will help you. I don't know, I'm not too sure about some of the praise songs that you can't tell whether or not the man is singing to Jesus or the man is singing to a woman or to a man or whatever's going on. They try to do this little thing where it can go either way now. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor taken in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. So ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we will conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, and he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the sin that we are looking at today is the same sin we've looked at over several weeks. The sin of sloth and the temptation to be lazy. We have a world of lazy people. You may have some lazy people in your family. It seems that they can never get going. They can never get started. They can never get halfway finished. They can never get finished. And the mark of a lazy person is they never finish things on their own. The mark of a lazy person is they never start things on their own. They're not self-starters. And my beloved, if you want to keep a job, see, it's one thing to get a job. It's another thing to keep a job. There's a lot of factors involved in keeping a job. It's easier to get a job. There's a lot of factors involved in keeping a job. If they find out that you're not a self-starter, you're not an innovator, if they find out that as soon as you come across a problem in getting the task done, you complain and you gripe and you always come to them with a problem and you never come with a solution, you're not a get-it-done person, they will fire you, particularly in the state of Texas. Because in the state of Texas, they can fire you for anything. You can't do anything. You have no recourse. You need to understand that. They want you to be a self-starter, and they want you to be on time. They don't want you to make excuses. They might give you three times and you're out. Three times you're late, you're gone. Very simply, this is all going to be in the fine print. You need to read not only the big print, but the fine print. Because they got you. Lazy people. Lazy people, another sign of a lazy person is that they never make a list. My beloved, if you don't wake up and make a list of what you know you need to do, even small things, you'll never get anything done worthwhile. You need to write down. I can't explain it to you, but there's something about writing things down that cements getting things done. I don't care if it's three things, write it down. If you need to pick up some ant poison, write it down to make things better at your household. If there's a certain bill you must pay, write it down and get it done. If there's a task that you must do, something creative, you know that God has wired you to do it. You know, and you do it well. Get it done. Don't be a drag person, drag kind of individual. I wanted to say something else, but I'll choose to say a drag butt. You don't want to be a drag butt. Don't drag. Don't be that way. Don't be known to be that way. To your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your parents, people who know you. They know you to be lazy and slow moving. It's not only being lazy and slow moving and not getting things done, but the whole, the word sloth is kind of indicates a spirit. It's a spirit. You just, everything about you is lazy and slow and not getting it done. You're not a get it done person. You want to be the kind of person who gets things done yesterday. And so when your supervisor asks you a question, how about that project I told you to do 2 days ago? Yes, sir, I got that done the same day. It's already up on the computer. Been there for 2 days. You say that 100 times to your supervisor, you have solidified your job, particularly if it's stuff that he doesn't have to check and make you do over. I love those people who you don't have to check their work. You know they got it done right. I love those people who get the job done and they deserve a break, and you want them to have a break. Some folk are so good, they work for 5 hours, they're supposed to work eight, but they get their work done in five. You say, I tell you what, you got so much work done today, and you got somebody else's work done today, and you have done work for tomorrow. You go home, and I'm still going to pay you full price, the full amount for 8 hours. That's the kind of person you want to be. But allow me to say this, because there are some hard workers among us. But they are hard workers because they have a bad attitude. You got people like that who work hard, but their attitude stinks. Now, let me tell you something. If you're going to work a job, if you're the kind of person who has to work a job, you want to work a job, and all of that kind of thing, then there's another factor connected to working hard. Not only do you need to work hard, but you need to have a great attitude. As one youth pastor said many years ago, your attitude determines your altitude. And dealing with the politics of a job, that's what you chose to do instead of working for yourself. And you definitely can't be lazy working for yourself. You got to get it. 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 But on a job, you can work hard, but if you have a bad attitude, you're going to lose that job. Not only that, if you don't show some kind of camaraderie with the people on the job, some kind of teamwork, some kind of family. I get tickled at some of these black folk who get on radio and get on TV and get on YouTube. First thing they say, hello, family. No, man, we ain't a family. Just because we black don't mean we all family. Get out of here with that. But on a job, the boss wants something similar to a family. He really wants a team, but he wants everybody to have each other's back. And you better understand that this, you can't be a star on the job by yourself. You got to bring others along, and you have to work with others. And there's some other factors involved. You don't want to be lazy. You don't want to be slothful. But you don't want to have a bad attitude. There are other factors that will get you fired on the job. So you don't want to have a slothful attitude. You don't want to be slothful in getting along with others. These are things you should have learned at PS 113. You say, well, preacher, what is PS 113? That's my elementary school that I went to in Brooklyn, New York. On the playground, the teachers were teaching us how to get along with others. And some of you have a problem with that. You're not going to make it in the workaday world because you don't know how to get along with others. Another factor involved is you don't know how to communicate, and you cannot be dilatory in your communication. You've got to be able to communicate well with people. You don't have to be eloquent like Martin Luther King Jr. or Abraham Lincoln. But you have got to learn how to communicate. Even if you say, well, I'm an introverted person, you know, that's just the way I am, and that's just who I am, and I'm not going to come out of my shell for nobody. Well, you will not have a job. Because on a job, you have got to communicate, and you've got to communicate clearly, and you have to choose to do that. I'm going off on this because it's not enough just to be a hard worker. You need to, because you're not going to make it if you have a hard attitude. You need to have a great attitude and spirit. I want you to think that if I just work hard, I can keep my job. No, you won't. You don't speak to anybody. You're mad as hell all of the time. You don't have any happiness about yourself, no joy about yourself. You never smile. You're not pleasant. Nobody wants to be around that. That disrupts the team. And that owner wants a team. And how many of you all can tell when people are not getting along? Every last one of you. One of the things that we, even if we're watching a drama on TV, even if we're watching the news, isn't it true? We can't stand when coworkers are not getting along. We can't stand it. Why is that? It's because of the God in us. People mistreating one another, and not getting along. We don't like to see it. None of us like to see it. And especially a boss. As soon as the boss comes up, certain little, they think pets come running, oh, hello, smiling and grinning, hello, boss, and so forth. And won't speak to your worker that you work with all day long. See, he's not going to tolerate that. He doesn't like that. And a good boss is going to say, why don't you go ahead and talk with Marie? I don't want you to talk with me right now. So all of that plus working hard is going to get it done. All of that. You got to do that too. And if you don't do that, you're going to lose your job. You don't have to compromise to keep your job, the word of God. You must obey God rather than man. But in being pleasant, being cheerful, being cooperative, communicating, and working hard, you must do. Can somebody say amen? And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is the fourth sin in a list of 12 temptations that comes from two sources, one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church. Just go ahead and get the thing. Called the seven deadly sins or the cardinal sins. These are devastating sins that will destroy your life and can destroy your soul in hell. The second source is a Barna survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we will be looking at Proverbs 26:15. Y'all see anything white on my face, let me know. Remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at glhopi.com, click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the home page, and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week. Proverbs 26:15, the Bible reads, "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." This proverb, ladies and gentlemen, highlights the absurdity and the foolishness of the slothful or lazy person. A slothful person won't even do simple things, simple work, if you will, that helps himself. Now, let me tell you something. This is a demonic spirit, man. I've seen this demonic spirit. It's connected to the Judas spirit, where you have people who are constantly trying to hinder God, trying to hinder Jesus, and trying to hinder people who are serving God. At the same time, they are destroying themselves. They won't even help themselves. These people are so lazy, they would rather go around for weeks stinking than to get themselves together and take a shower. It kills them to even take a shower. That's for their own benefit, for their own hygiene, for their own health. Showering is not only important if you're going to work a job so that you won't stink the people away from you, but it's important for your own good hygiene and health. You need to get all of the poisons and dirt and filth and toxins that come on your skin off of your body. Unless you start having lesions and scars that you don't know nothing about on your body, and you get sick. You got some folk who they hungry, they want to eat, but they won't work for the food. Slothful. This spirit of slothfulness is pervasive. It's across this country and around the globe. It is a spiritual thing. It's a demonic spirit and attitude. Mentality. It's not just a lack of physical action. There's something deep down wrong in a person who won't even do what is necessary to feed himself. Won't even lift the fork up to it. You're so lazy. You're a grown person. You won't even lift the spoon up to your mouth and feed yourself. That's how absurd it is. You want your mommy or somebody to take a spoon and feed you, and you 26 years old. You 30 years old. You want somebody else to do it for you. And this slothful mind, ladies and gentlemen, is a very serious matter and a very dangerous matter, because it impacts every area of their life. These people, watch this, they never want to do anything. Certainly not on their own. And secondly, when you tell them to do it. For their own good. And by the way, slothfulness does not go away. Just because you're told to do something and you finally do it. And watch this. The slothful people, after they do complete something, after they do get something done, they have a certain grin on their face. The grin says, "Hey, I accomplished something. I did something." But you still have the spirit of slothfulness because you didn't do it on your own. You were made to do it, oftentimes under the threat of chastisement, under the threat of rebuke, under the threat of embarrassment, under the threat of losing your job. John Gill writes regarding this verse, the word for bosom here sometimes signifies a pot or basin. It may also mean that he hides his hands under his arms or in his chest area, not caring to make use of it for labor. Watch, these people already got their arms folded. Always got their hands in their pocket. I do not trust a young man who always has his hands in his pocket. I can't deal with that. Then now we got some joker, put the hands behind the back. No, bring your hands out to your side. And they got their arms folded like they hiding something. Or he covers it out of sight in his bosom, pretending some weakness or ailment which hinders him from working. They hide their hands. They probably throw rocks, then they hide their hands. They throw rocks at the people who are working and then hide their hands. It grieves him to even bring it to his mouth out of the platter where his food is. Now, you know that's sad. When it grieves you to lift the fork up to your mouth to feed yourself, that work right there grieves you. Now, you know whether or not you have this spirit, where everything grieves you. Everything is a burden. You're never excited about any kind of work until it is done. You're never thankful about the work until it's done. You hate work of any kind, the easiest work. You hate it with a passion. You despise it. You develop a demonic attitude towards work. I've seen this with my own eyes. The easiest work possible to feed yourself and to help feed others. I've seen people not want to do that. We'll do everything. We'll lie. We'll cheat. We'll cause negative things to happen. We'll try to destroy the car from or whatever to keep from going to work. It is a demonic spirit. It's not only a lack of physical action. I believe it's demonic. It's a spirit. The spirit of slothfulness. The spirit of laziness. And by the way, folks, we have this demonic spirit working in the church. You know, it used to be 20% of the people in the church work and serve God. And now it's probably 10, and that's it. If that. 10% of the people doing all of the work. Hard to find people who want to serve God today. Everybody come dressed up in their little fancy clothes and want to sit and hear the preaching and feel the air condition and hear the choir, especially us black folk. The first thing you mentioned church, you actually invite folks to church, and the first thing they say is, they ask you is, how's the choir? Do they have a great? Do they have a rocking choir? You're supposed to be going to see the solid rock, Jesus, not the rocking choir, sir, ma'am. I mean, you're supposed to meet God. I mean, that's the main thing. Do they have a rocking choir? Cause you know, I love to hear some good music. Are you kidding me? And then we got these folks who never go to church on Sunday morning, but you have a singing in the evening. You have a singing, they'll be there. The church is packed out. If it's just going to be singing, they don't want to hear no preaching. A hyperbolic expression meant to show us and to show forth this person's excessive sloth. End of quote. Solomon goes to great lengths to convince his readers not to be lazy, not to be slothful. Was Solomon, he had many wives and girlfriends, So, well, we can say he was not lazy in that department, but he was not lazy in other departments either, as well. Solomon, despite his faults, was one of the most productive individuals in history. According to 2 Chronicles 8 and 9, within 20 years, I said within 20 years, he built the temple. He built his own palace. He rebuilt dozens of cities, some to serve as storehouses and others to serve as garrisons. And he did all of this while managing, I think, 300 wives and 700 concubines. He was a busy man. He had a workforce of thousands that was overseen by 250 officers. He was exceedingly successful in trading with other nations. He was better than Trump, making himself the richest man of his time and making Israel the economic jewel of the ancient Near East. Furthermore, he put his mind to work in the study of philosophy, psychology, and spiritual matters, of course, and the meaning of life, the results of which are recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes. He collected and crafted thousands of proverbs. Crafted mean he wrote them. We read them today. In fact, our family just read once again, probably for the thousandth time, the book of Proverbs all the way through. My beloved, if you want to have a great month of devotions, read through the book of Proverbs. 31 days. Find your month that has 31 days. Read one proverb, a chapter a day. It'll bless your heart, and it will open your eyes. But not only was he a writer, a nonfiction writer, he was a fiction writer, if you will. He wrote the historical romance novel known as The Song of Solomon, certainly based upon the truth, as most good novels are. Above all, he is known as the wisest man who ever lived. Surely we should take heed to Solomon's advice. Solomon was a hard-working man. He didn't have an ounce of the spirit of slothfulness. And you should do everything you can by the grace of God to get rid of every ounce of slothfulness, that spirit of laziness that is in you. Here's how you know that you have that spirit of slothfulness. If you have 30 things that you know God put in your heart and mind to do, whether they are written down or not, you have the spirit of slothfulness. If days and weeks and months go by when you know you should get a certain task accomplished or you should have reached a certain goal, and you feel guilty 90 days out from the time you should have done it, or 30 days out, you have the spirit of slothfulness. The devil and your flesh are working together against you to keep you back from doing what God has called you to do and wired you to do. Some of you are writers, and you know that you are behind. You're not behind because of circumstances. You're behind because you're slothful, you're lazy. Some of you who are writers, you should have 10 books out by now, 20 books out by now. Your mind is constantly flooded, particularly, watch this, when you're working. God does not give great ideas to lazy people. He just doesn't. And God is not going to... By the way, God's not going to let you grow
No matter how many books you might sit down on your lazy behind and read, you're not going to grow unless you start doing. You start obeying. You start making things happen the way he wants them to happen. And so I pray and hope that this message today will do a work in your heart, that you will make up your mind by the grace of God never to be lazy again, never to be slothful, never to indulge that spirit of slothfulness again. And here's how you can repent right now. Stop what you're doing. I'm getting ready to wrap up this service. But here's what you need to do once I do that. Take a pen and paper. Don't type it up on your computer. Find a piece of paper. There's something about writing it down with your fingers. Most people list things on their computer and they can't find it the next day. Write down the 30 things, the 40 things. Here's what slothful people do. They play games with themselves. They eliminate some of the things that they know they should do to make their list short because they're lazy. They're slothful. These people who have the spirit of slothfulness, they like to chuck stuff. Just chuck it out the window. Chuck it in the trash can. Now, I'm telling you that what you need to do is go back maybe 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, 3 years, to whatever God you know God put in your heart to do, whether it is to get a certain kind of degree or to go to law school or to get your MDiv or to write that book or to at least write your dissertation and make that into a book or whatever the case might be, get to moving, get to stepping, and get it done. Don't chuck anything. Don't toss anything. Don't play games with yourself. Everything God, you know God put in your heart to do, you need to complete that task. You need to get it done. And here's what you need to do if you want to be obedient to the Word of God and to the message. Get you a piece of paper, a notebook, preferably a notebook. Everybody, I don't care if you have how many computers you have, how many little devices you have, God bless you. Everybody should still have a notebook. You can get a notebook at Walmart for less than $1. Dollar General, you get one for $1. Three subject notebook. And every day you ought to write down your list and check off your list. And one of the greatest feelings in the world, if you are a normal human being, is to check off something that you got accomplished. Write down everything that you know you should do. And put little squares beside them and start getting them done. Don't let the devil, don't let your flesh, don't let your wife, don't let your husband, don't let your children, don't let your grandchildren, don't let your parents, don't let anybody else stop you from getting what you know God put in your heart to do. Because horror of horrors is if you don't do it, God will give it to somebody else. And wouldn't it be a shame for you to have that idea first, and somebody else comes along and gets it done because they're not lazy, they're not slothful. Normally, if God knows you're going to get it done, he'll wait 5 years, he'll wait 10 years. One of the things I taught my children by action, not just by talking, but by action. Whatever vision God gave me, I don't care how long it takes to come to pass, we're going to get it done. Some things have taken 3 years, some have taken 5, some have taken 10, some have taken 15. Many people do not know this, But the Essence best-selling, Amazon national best-selling, and Dallas Morning News best-selling book, Letters to Young Black Men, that I wrote. I wrote that book I think 15 years before it became a national bestseller. Working on it, tweaking it after that. My two oldest children were babies when I started writing that book at Yale University in the Yale Law Library. Not that I was a lawyer or pursuing a degree. I just happened to be there, and so I used their library that day. And that book was written in New Haven, Connecticut, for the most part, in that area. 15 years before it became a national bestseller. I stuck with it and stuck with it and stuck with it, and God opened up doors, and boom, there you go. And that's what God wants you to do. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on the vision that God gave you. Because he wants you to see it through. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and your grace, your strength, and your ability to preach your holy word and to preach it around the world. And Lord, I pray that people would get off the ball, stop overthinking things, pray without ceasing, and do the 1 or 2 or 3 or 10 or 15 or 20 and 30 or 30 things. Some things can be done in 30 days. 30 things can be done in 30 days if they would work at it and get it done. There's some mothers and housewives, you know, they know that you have spoken to them about cleaning out the cabinets, taking everything out and cleaning it. That's why they have bugs. They have not done so. You have spoken to their hearts about doing a thorough cleaning of the house, taking everything out, wiping everything down. They haven't done it in years. And so forth. That item that needs to be fixed, they've gone for a whole year without it being fixed, and they know they need to either fix it themselves or call somebody. And Lord, on and on, in every area of life, and yes, being a wife and mother is a ministry, one of the most important ministries, one of the first ministries, no doubt. And without a good wife and mother, the atmosphere is not going to be what it should be. And so, Holy Father God, help everybody to do their part, to do what you want them to do, and to do what you have given them the talent to do, and to not be slothful and not to adopt that demonic slothful spirit from hell. In Jesus Christ's name we pray now, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help them not to be slothful in coming to Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to die today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven to be with God, which is far better? Or would you go to hell and be alone for eternity? If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I believe that those words are the most important words ever said in the history of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that means anybody at any time, I don't care how important you think you are, I don't care if you are a CEO an executive or a tech guy out on the West Coast. I don't care if you are from China, from India, from the Philippines, from Nigeria, from South Africa, from Germany. Whosoever means you. I don't care how gifted you are, how pretty you are, how handsome you might be, how educated you might be. Whosoever means you. For whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9 and 13 that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins and from the punishment of your sins, which is hell. In other words, you'll be saved from the misery in this life of your sins, and you'll have peace and joy in the midst of it all, and you'll be saved from the misery of the punishment of your sins in hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And so if you're willing to right now believe on Christ and believe that he suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins, Daniel, Ezekiel, and was buried and rose again the third day, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not believing, then you're not going to call. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll call with me and follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have committed sins against you by breaking your Ten Commandments of committing adultery, lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, lying and dishonesty, stealing. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of these sins and all other sins that I have committed. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old and evil ways, and help me to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of my life on into eternity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God found in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or Gospel Light House of Prayer and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved from sin and hell, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so, beloved, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.